Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to worship this morning. And is this on?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't hear as much coming. There we go. Fantastic. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here this morning, and I just start by thanking you for your call and for the service on Monday night. And a real time now where I'll speak later on about what things might look like and what's in my head, because I find it's generally quite good to get things out of my head. They just get mixed up in there. So, our call to worship is from Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. From heaven you came, helpless babe. It's hymn 162. Words are on the screen. Let's stand to worship him.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Father, we come before you, bow before you, a church, a family before you. And we come because of your love and your faithfulness. We come because you created us and that you have loved us first. We come for you love the world so much that you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, so that all who believe would have eternal life and would not perish. And we come to give you the glory, to give you the honor, to give you the praise. We come as your people to worship you, to glorify your name, to honor you with our worship, our words, our prayers, our thoughts, our deeds. And we come. We come in response to your love and we come in love for you. And Father, as we walk with you, so we build up that picture of who you are. But we already know you to be a loving God, a faithful God, and a forgiving God. And so we take this time this morning to confess to you those things that we need to confess, that we need to get off our own shoulders, off our own hearts, off our own minds. These are the things that we've said and shouldn't have said, the things that we've done and shouldn't have done, the thoughts that we've had and shouldn't have had, or the things that we should have done, to reflect your glory, your honour, your love to your people. And so we share them with you now. Not because you don't know them, but because we need to tell you, to release them from us. And as we confess these sins of ours, we turn fully to you, we repent and seek your ways. And we do so in the power of your Holy Spirit. And he comes to free us from the chains of these sins, the burdens that hold us back, and that we can rejoice in being forgiven. That we can rejoice in being free in Christ. We can rejoice in knowing you. And Heavenly Father, hear us as we sum up our prayer by saying together the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the things, I think I said that at Solomon, for me, scripture is very much the Word of God put together for each one of us. It doesn't just tell the story of God or what God's trying to achieve, but actually is constructed in a way that enables us to learn more of God. It's in a sense having different bits of jigsaw puzzle, trying to put that together and understanding what it is that God's wanting to say to us at different times. And the only way we can really do that is if we take the time to walk with him, to be able to immerse ourselves in his word and to walk with him. There's a hymn, I think it's a Seven Risen Saviour, walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow ways. Does anyone remember that? But it's, I don't remember the rest of it, I remember that bit. But it's that about being able to walk and talk with God in our daily lives. There's more I want to say later on, but for us and for me, it must be that the Bible, God's holy word, his inspired word, sets us in a travel, in a way that enables us to develop, to build, to grow as part of a family with him. There's things in scriptures that we don't understand. There's things in scripture that we find very difficult to understand. And there's things in scripture that, may I say it, we maybe don't want to believe. But actually, God's word is in there. And so in our walk with God, we need to explore all that and see how God has intended us to be. So we walk together with him. And in the sermon, I'm going to say more about that. More about how that might be and how he might use us to share his love with other people. But there are definitely times when it just feels almost too much, that it's really difficult. And these are the times where we just have to rely on God, because our own effort, and this doesn't sound right, I'm going to say this again. There's times, all times we rely on God, but there are times when we find it hard to see what God is doing. And there's at that time we just need to hand everything over to him. In our confusion, in our own difficulty, our burdens, we hand all over to him just to let him do, because that's what he wants to do. We hand our lives over to him and he will lead us and direct us and help us. And for me, that's very much the shape of things to come. I want to explain that later, and I will do, but just as a starting, an opening, that's the whole thing about being able to walk together with God. Later on, you'll notice that the title is Walking Together in Step with God. And there's something slightly different within that. Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do. Let's stand to worship him. It's Mission Praise 133.
I'm not afraid to die.
We come to a time of praying for others and praying for the world. There's two or three things that I like to do, and just to share this with you. I like to leave space for your own prayer. So a moment's silence just after some of the headings. So I might say something and leave a wee pause. That's a pause for your own prayers. I also like to speak about things of joy and things of concern. It's good just to flag up a few things before we go into the prayer of what's been going on. That's part of our prayer. Things to give thanks for, things of joy, and things of concern, things that we want to bring before God that we know. But I also like to give just a few general heading things. And I think that sometimes that's because I find it difficult sometimes to class it either as a thing of joy or a thing of concern. And one of these things would be the General Assembly. It should be a thing of joy. But we know as the General Assembly goes through, there are things that we all become concerned about. So we pray for the General Assembly, for all the reports, for all the debates that there are, that have been yesterday and will be from tomorrow right through to Friday. And today is Heart and Soul Day in Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh, and a time where there'll be many, many people going through the gardens, some people not connected with the church at all, and seeing a lot of the stalls that are set out. It's a interesting place to be, because you see the different churches and the different things that are going on in this one area of Princes Street Gardens, and then it's finished off with a time of praise. So our prayers for the General Assembly, and please do remember the General Assembly during the week. There was a time, of course, where you could just switch on the television and you would see something about the General Assembly. Now, of course, they'll only cherry pick various bits and pieces. But if you were online, you go through the Church of Scotland website and you could watch the live stream. So General Assembly, and the other general thing is the general election. Something, again, we need to give our prayers towards. And we pray that those who have put themselves forward for election would represent the people, that they would leave their own personal agendas behind and look at the country and what we as people need from them. So things of joy, God's faithfulness, as he has been in the past, is now and will be in the future. His love and faithfulness is something we rejoice all the time. A thing of concern has always to be the conflict that we see around the world, and that we would hope that and pray for God's peace to break into that. So with all these things, let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we can just walk with you. We give you thanks that actually we find you walking with us. And Father, we thank you that we can see you in all the daily things that happen. That you break in to our lives. We thank you too for Jesus Christ, that you acted for the world, that you gave us Jesus Christ, you gave your only Son. And so we thank you. And now as we pray first for ourselves here in this place. For those individuals who are on our left, for those who are on our right, for those who are seated above us, for those who are seated below us, for those who are in a different part of this building. We pray too for those that we know can't be here this morning for whatever reason. And as we walk in our prayer, as we walk and walk around this area, so we pray for those things that we know are around us, these people, the houses, the shops, the area. We pray around Stevenston. Your blessing, Lord, your spirit would just ignite this area for you. We pray for our presbytery. Give you thanks for all the charges within the presbytery, for those who work together in your name. And Lord, as we pray for nation, we pray too about the General Assembly, for this church's assembly, and we pray for the general election. Father, we pray for the world, and as we pray for the world, we give you thanks for these places where there is such great beauty, places that we enjoy going to holiday, to visit. We also bring to you the places that are war-torn, that are broken through conflict, through violence. And we would pray for peace and healing. Father, we pray that the world would know Christ in its midst, and that your people would know Christ in their walk. And Father, we pray for those who are in our minds and our hearts. Lord of all the living, loving God, remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and reading from verse 13. On that same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 11 kilometers from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?" They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening these last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day since it happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but could not find his body. They came back, saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are! How slow you are to believe everything the prophets said! Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory?" And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of all the prophets. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they held him back, saying, "Stay with us, the day is almost over and it is getting dark." So he went in to stay with them. He sat down to eat with them, took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others and saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." The two then explained to them what had happened on the road and how they had recognized the Lord when he broke the bread. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word, and to his name be the praise.
Thanks, Andy. What you saw there and heard there were two different versions, the Good News being read and the New International being shown. It's actually quite handy sometimes to see two or three different versions as we look at Scripture. Well, thanks, Andy, particularly, because I think I've pushed them this week, and I just asked them to speak, to read, just before the service started. And I promised never to mention washing machines to them at all. There was just a wee technical hitch with the washing machine into the manse, but we're there now. So thank you for all your help, Sandy. As we worship together, so we take the time then to focus in on God. And our next hymn allows us time to rest a bit, but also to remember that we have been redeemed, that the Lord knows us by name, and that we are his. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. Let's worship him.
Thank you.
Ross, can I just ask you to set up verses 19 to 24 again? Don't quite need them yet, but I'm giving you that wee bit warning. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us and your ways. And so, as we pray that your Holy Spirit, present with us now, fills us, each one of us, and opens us to your word and to your ways. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. Somebody once said to me that when I started to go forward for auxiliary ministry, so I'm still a serving police officer, is that not a bit strange, being a policeman, but also being a minister? And actually, as I went through on that path, I began to realise there's a lot of tie-ups with that. A lot of times when things pull together and they actually merge really well, they don't always seem to be of conflict. And so experiences within the church serve within the police, and sometimes experiences in the police served in ministry. I never heard it better explained by a minister friend of ours who introduced me as saying, "This is Dave. He used to be a policeman, but now he's a minister. He used to lock people up, but now he sets them free." However, the policing aspect has always been important, because it had been such a grounding for me. And I still have the memory of walking through the doors of the Scottish Police College and being taught very, very quickly that you kept your mouth short, or your mouth shut and your hair short. I think I succeeded. But you also ended up doing the drill, doing the marching on the parade square. And that was for edification and delight, and to enable us to be able to walk together, to walk in step. And again, there's people who say, "Well, what on earth was that any use for?" Well, actually, we found it in great use in other times when we were being moved as a group of officers from one place to another. Actually, we knew how to walk in step. Whether we were very good at it or not is another matter. But we also were taught traffic signals early on, so we'd end up in a square in the class, and instruction would be given, and we would have to stop traffic from the front, up 1-2, and move traffic from the left, up 1-2, on 2. It was wonderful stuff. I can't remember it fully. But if you remember the song YMCA, see, I don't need to say very much more, eh? That's what we did as our passing out parade at the dance. We all got up at the dance and we did the YMCA song to the traffic signals. I speak these things not because they're funny, not because they're ingrained in my head somehow, but actually it's about walking in step, about being together as a group of people who needed to know how to be together and to be instructed together. There was another course I was on much later. It was a leadership course, and their starting point was this: that when somebody new comes into the team, it's a new team. When somebody new comes into the team, it's a new team. Whether that was as the sergeant, the inspector, the chief inspector, whatever, or the constable joined the team, or the support staff joined the team, it was a new team. They didn't join the existing team, you became a new team. And so when I was promoted and given a team, I had to bring a new team together. And that for me is very helpful in how we think about things, about how we all come together and how we come together with God. We become a new team. All of us here, we're a new team. It will be a new session. We'll look around it and we'll see it's all mainly the same faces, but there's someone new, me. So it's a new team, new session. It was mentioned on Monday night about a new ministry in this place. That's a new ministry. A new ministry has started. I want to say that I understand what that means, but I'm not 100% comfortable with the words like that. Because as it's a new team, it's not a new ministry. Well, it is a new ministry. It's not my ministry. We're coming in to be different together, to work together. So the newness is not me, but all of us. Because it's all about our walk in step with God. When I was preaching in Soul Nominee, I think I said at one stage, that the church is lost. The church is lost. The church has lost its way. The church nationally, the church locally, we've lost our position in society. There was a time when the church was the moral compass of the world. And now what we find is the world is trying to be the moral compass to the church. There was a time when everyone saw the church as being relevant to their lives, and now there's a time when we're in the time when the world tells us that we are not relevant. That church is not relevant, that scripture, that religion is not relevant to today's people. The church has been distracted by the world. The church has been distracted by the world. The world trying to shape us. Was busy looking and being distracted from the main thing. We're being distracted from Jesus Christ, the head of the church. We're being distracted from the Word of God, that scripture. We've taken our eyes from Jesus, the living Word. Start focus on the world. We need to be on the living Word, the head of the church. And this week at General Assembly, we'll see things debated, things talked about, things that I would rather ignore, quite frankly, because most of it's a distraction. Where do we get on about sharing the love of God with the people of God? And that is about walking with God. The church has acknowledged, 2 years ago, the church acknowledged that it lost its way. In fact, I would say that many years ago, the church acknowledged it lost its way. The church without walls. Do you remember those reports, the church without walls? The church did nothing. 2 years ago, it set up the Path of Renewal. The difference was they put money and resources behind it to seriously run it. 15 months ago, I started on the Path of Renewal. I couldn't tell you then what it was properly. Because nobody knew. It was something new. It was something different. I don't know that I can still explain it to you. So I'm not going to even try. But what I can tell you is some elements about it. Of the way I am. Because now I've mentioned Path of Renewal. I'm not going to mention it again. Because this is about how we are together, being in step together, working together. An invite that I have for you. But before we get to that bit, I want to go back to that reading. There's these two souls who are walking away from Jerusalem. They are walking away from everything that's happened, away home to Emmaus. They are dispirited. They're maybe disillusioned. They're maybe a bit disgruntled as well, for they have just had a shock. What they thought was going to happen didn't happen. And as they're talking, it's a discussion, it's a conversation, it's more than that. It's a heated discussion. It sometimes reminds me of two folk who are walking along and they start to speak about something, and then that phrase comes out, and let me tell you this, or, and another thing. Suddenly that gets a bit heated about what's happened. These people are emotional about it. And into that comes Jesus, whom they don't recognize. That's a God moment. God has prevented them from recognizing Jesus. And Jesus says to them, what's wrong, folks? What are you talking about? And they're saying, the things that have happened. He said, what things? And here on the screen is their response. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. In those verses, these people have listed what God set out to do in Scripture. That Jesus was alive, he died, he rose again. Except their expectation was that Jesus, the Messiah, would save them from captivity. That he would throw out the Romans, that they would be free. That was their hope. A vain hope. It was not God's hope. That was their hope. And so they didn't see what God was doing. And Jesus spends the next while speaking to them about what we now know as the Old Testament, about their scriptures, about Jesus himself, pointing everything out. And still they did not see him. But it's only when Jesus did that thing in daily life, he broke bread. That's what they did. Broke bread. That their eyes were cleared. Another God moment in their lives, their eyes were cleared, and they could recognize Jesus. And at that point, Jesus disappears. But they go back to the disciples. They go back to Jerusalem and enter that room. Think about it. People have sighted Jesus during the day. And these two now come into that room where people are saying, we have seen the Lord, we've seen Jesus. And they're saying, we've seen the Lord, we've seen Jesus. We've talked with him. We walked with him. He told us things about Scripture. Can only get to that point by walking with him. By talking with him. to be able to say, we've seen the Lord. What I want to do, what I'd like us to do, what I'm inviting you to share with me, it's a time when we walk together in step with God. A time when we walk together looking at Scripture, looking at what it means to be a disciple of God, discipleship, at mission, at prayer, at hospitality. You know, hospitality is a huge thing for a family. We saw hospitality on Monday night. But that's how we grow together, sharing together. So some of the things I want to look at is ways in which we can pray together differently. Ways where we can share God's word together. Ways in which we can grow a bit more together about what God is saying. Some of that will be in the service on a Sunday morning. Some of that will be on a Wednesday morning. Some of that will be at other times. Today's the kind of introduction. Next week we'll be talking about ascension, that time which is so important that we do miss, where Jesus ascends to be with the Father. It's part of the confession of faith. He ascends to be at the right hand of the Father, from whence he comes to judge the living and the dead. But that's part of what it is. So next week we look at the ascension. That brings us, I think, towards communion. And if I've got my Sundays right, that means communion is on Pentecost. So we will look at Pentecost. And then I want to make a move into the Acts, into the Psalms, and follow a book, following the Psalms, but following a book written by Eugene Peterson, who's the author of the Message version of the Bible. Eugene Peterson has written a lot about discipleship, and he's written this book that looks at the Psalm of Ascents, Psalm 120 to 135. And he picks out various bits on discipleship in each one of them. And I want to go through that. It's 15. We'll be there a wee while. But actually, I think it's good grounding for us all, because in all that we learn to walk in step together with God. And for me, that's what's important that we do. Through that, we can say we have seen the Lord. Through that, we will get to know him. And you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter if you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter if you've just walked through the doors of this church this morning. I want to join in with that. Please just accept the invitation to follow and to share. As we uplift our offering, there'll be a video played by the Wren Collection, My Lighthouse. It's a song that you can listen to and just take a bit of time to reflect on the words. It's something different. It's also about being able to see and use the whole package, or the visual, audio-visual package, to its extent. So we continue with our offering.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore.
Father, that you would be our lighthouse, that you would lead us and you would guide us, that you would guide us safe to shore, to your shore. And Father, as we pray, we present these, our offerings, a token of all that you've given us, we give back to you. But we also present ourselves to you this morning. Our very selves. Take us, renew us, refresh us, recreate us. Use us to the building up of your kingdom in this place. Amen. And we sing together, God of grace and God of glory. Let's worship him. Lord, do pray that you would grant us wisdom, that you would grant us courage, that we would go out from this place to serve thee whom we adore. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and all whom you love and all whom you struggle to love, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.